Parshas Bahar is a very, very unique parsha. You can see the way the parsha introduces itself and the storyline that goes right through the parsha. So Rashi says, "Ma inyan shmita etzel ha-sinai?" Every mitzvah ha-sinai. So Rashi answers in his particular way, but we see over here that again, the pasuk clearly is establishing an unusual sequence that's happening in this parasha that begins with Shemitah. And Rashi, towards the end of the parasha, tells us that it's actually one long story that happened all the way through. It begins with Shemitah, it goes on to Yovel, it goes on to Ribbis. If you look in Rashi, in Perik Chof Vov, Pasuk Aleph, Rashi says that Lekach nemru mikrois halolu vafa parshas halolu nemru al haseda mitchil al haseda. Now that this parsha is a sequence of what happens. Bitchila, in the beginning of the parsha, hisir al shvius. The pasuk warns us about looking after the halachas of shvius in the correct way. V'mchomad momen, and if a person desires money, v'nechshod al shvius, and by doing so, he doesn't keep shvius in the correct way, soifoy limko metaltalov. He'll end up having to sell his properties. Lekach, and even his metaltalim, even his monetary amounts. Lekach samachle v'chisimka memka, is talking about when you sell something that's not even karka dealing with metaltalim. In other words, the pasuk says, we're dealing here with a person who actually started off the parasha in a way that he was very financially viable. He had properties, he had real estate, he had his he had metaltalin, which means he had movables that are worth money. And stage by stage through this parasha, we see him losing it. He loses everything. He loses properties. He has to sell them. Then he starts selling his metaltalin, and he falls from one rung to the next financially. And then it says, he sells his house. He starts borrowing his ribbis, and eventually, he even says a pasuk, he sells himself. He sells himself. We're dealing with a person who actually sells himself into slavery. Carries on the parasha, and the parasha says, not only do you sell yourself to a Jew, but you sell yourself to a goy. And that's where the end of the parasha ends off. And not even you sell yourself to a goy, you sell yourself to a goy who is actually employing you to do work for the house of Avodah Zarah. So you have now started off this parasha as a wealthy landowner that had properties, that had valuables, and you did not fulfill your obligations. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has warned you time and time again to put yourself together, to start behaving, and a person doesn't behave, and eventually HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes him again and again, until eventually at the end of the parasha he ends up this penniless person who, in order to survive, sells himself. Even a Jew doesn't want to buy him, and he sells himself to a goy who is employing him to sweep the base of Avodah Zarah. That is where the parasha ends. A very, very tragic story. So when the parasha begins and says that this is, and Har Sinai is drawing our attention to the fact that this is the story of what happens to a person who does not follow the Torah. If a person does not follow the Torah, then this is generally what happens. So the story is introducing to us what happens to this person. That being the case, we have to take our full attention to how the parasha ends. The parasha ends naturally in a way of a Kodesh Baruch Hu explaining what happened in Pasuk Nun Hei, Perik Chof Hei Pasuk Nun Hei. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, yomai avodim, avodai heim, yomai avodim asher tzeisio oisim eris Yisrael, ani Hashem lekeichem, I'm your God. A Kodesh Baruch Hu says, what happened to you people? How did you end up? You end up with my avodim. And you end up being avodim to somebody else? That is understandable. But the last Pasuk in the which is Pasuk Aleph, yeah, and Pasuk Beis, these two last Pasukim require tremendous amount of understanding. The parasha ends, Lo Yisarsu Lachem, out of random, it seems, Chalila, it's not, but it seems random. Do not make for yourself Elilim, Avodah Zarah, do not make yourself a Pesel, a Matzeva. In other words, don't make yourself gods, Lo Yisakimu Lachem, forever maskis, and also don't have this stone that you cover on the ground, that you bow down to, l'shtachva Yisrael, to bow down, k'ani Hashem alekeichem. So here we have the pasuk warning us against different forms of Avodah Zarah. The last parsha ends off, the last pasuk ends off, es shabsoisai tishmeru, another mitzvah of keeping Shabbos. And the very last part, the very last mitzvah is umikdoshai tiro, and have fear of the base of mikdosh and the Hashem. What do these three mitzvahs have in common to the storyline of this parasha? We have a person who deteriorates from level to level, and the last three mitzvahs of the parasha talks about avodah zarah, it talks about Shabbos, and talks about mikdoshai tiro. What does that have to do with the storyline of this parasha? And what do they have in common one with the other? So there's a very, very beautiful Rav Moshe Feinstein in this parasha, and he says as follows. He says that there is a concept that goyim, if you look around the world, one shouldn't really enjoy it, but that you see remarkable architecture that the goyim put in to their base of Avodah Zarah. Remarkable. You go to Europe, you mustn't say it's beautiful because in Lysachonim, mustn't find chem, but the amount of work they're put in is outstanding. There are churches there, there are cathedrals, it's outstanding. And the amount of effort on the artwork, and you know, one goes to Rome, how much money, billions and billions of pounds or dollars or euros or who knows what has been put in through the generations to build these enormous structures with intricate designs. Why is it? Why did they put so much koichus into this? So Rav Moshe explains that the goy has a hashkafa, that he's willing to invest in a base of Avodah Zarah, because that is the sum amount of his religious behavior, his religious observance. You come to the church can be beautiful, you can invest in that, but as soon as you step outside, you're no longer a religious man. You can do whatever you want, and then you come back into the church. You say your Hail Marys. You give your I don't know. You say to the priest, "I have sinned. I will sin." I don't know exactly what the lashon is. Then different neschoyes, but that is basically the religion, and that is basically the religion. That is what it's all about. And you leave the religion behind, and you go and you live your day to day life as a regular human being. Rav Moshe says that in this week's parasha we see that the psukim tell us that shabsoisai tishmeru umikdoshai tiro. In other words, the halacha is brought down that binyan beis hamikdash, building a beis hamikdash, is not doicha Shabbos. Shabbos overrides building a house for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Why? Building a house for the Ribbono Shel Olam? No. Es shabsoisai tishmeru umikdoshai tiro. Says Rav Moshe, because if a person understands clearly what life is required from him, that ultimately a Jew is supposed to be a Jew with everything he does, the way he works, the way he thinks, the way he behaves, is all on the focus of a Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu demands from us a particular form of behavior, which Shabbos shows us how to behave. A Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "I created the world. You're obliged to follow my rules. You're obliged to rest and work according to the way I dictate." Every single moment is ultimately different if a person understands that. So what the pasuk is telling us over here is, don't make Avodah Zarah. Don't go deviate from the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to behave. And I'll tell you why. Because if you focus on Eshabsoisai Tishmeru, if you focus on what Shabbos is all about, on the Hashkocha Pratis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and therefore you are Mechuyuv to keep the Torah, not only in Shul, but to keep it on your day-to-day work. How do you know that umikdoshai tiro, that the mikdosh takes second place to Shabbos? You will know how to behave. And that behavior, that you live your life in a moral and focused way following the Torah, I'm telling you, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, focus on this and this whole terrible tragic story that went through the whole parasha, where a person deviates and lost his whole life and lost his whole fortune and lost his whole moral status and status in society, was only because a person did not realize that ultimately a person is supposed to focus on Hashkocha Pratis of Kodesh Baruch Hu around in the world. So this two psukim at the end is what happened, what went wrong, according to Rav Moshe, all the way through in the previous parasha, because it did not focus on these two psukim. It did not focus on a Kodesh Baruch Hu around the world. He did not focus that shul is a secondary element of our life. Rav Moshe says we lived Baruch Hashem many, many years without a Beis HaMikdash, but we cannot live a life without Shabbos. Reform Judaism today began with Mendelssohn. Mendelssohn is known that Mendelssohn even was makbid to govern mincha. Mendelssohn, But he said a statement, and he said, is a Jew in the shul and a mensch in the street. Mensch does not mean be a good person, but mensch means a human being in the street. That was directly opposing this posuk. It's not a Jew in the shul and a person on the street. It's a Jew on the street. Every way you behave is a Jew. Says Rav Moshe, if a person understood that, this person would not have lost his fortune and his status all the way through the parasha. Rav Henoch Leibowitz focuses on the earlier part of Rashi. The earlier part of Rashi asks, who are we talking to over here that we say, Leisasu lechem elilim? Do not make yourself elilim. Do not make yourself a vegasar. Who are we talking to over here? Who are we talking to? It says Rashi, Kineged ze hanim kalanochri. We're talking about a person who sold himself to the goy. Shloi toima, shloi yema, he shouldn't say, Hoyel v'rabbi megala arayus, since my Rebbe is at megala arayus, afani kamoisoi, I will also misbehave and behave in a way that's immoral. Hoyel v'rabbi oivet avodas kohavim, since my Rebbe serves avodah zara, afani kamoyu, I'll be like him. Hoyel v'rabbi mechal shabbos, since my Rebbe is mechal shabbos, afani kamoisoi, I'll be like him. Lekachnema mikrois halolu. That's why it says he's pesukim. In other words, we're talking about a Jew who unfortunately could not find anyone to buy him other than a goy. And he buys himself, and a goy buys him. And now he's employed by the goy, and he sees avodah zarah. And he sees chil shabbos. And now he says, since my master does this, I'll also do this. Ask Rav Henoch Leibowitz, what is the logic of that? He knows what's right. He's a person who's been keeping Shabbos all the time until now. He knows that Avodah Zarah is wrong, and now he's got to be warned, don't do it. What happened to his logic? What happened to his seichel? Why should he say, since my master does it, I'll also do that? Why? Where's the svar in that? Where's the logic? Why? Where does that come from? Says the Henoch Leibowitz, that is a power of influence. The koyach of influence is able to override logic. If you see your master doing something, you want the tshuka, the rotzen, the wish, the desire inside you overrides the desire to become one, to become a part of your society overrides logic. And he says, not only does this happen to somebody who is nebuch, lost his morals all the way through the parasha, but it happens to the greatest people. Being and seeing in a society that people do not value real elements of Yiddishkeit, real elements of morals, it's going to make an impression for you that can last for generations. He said, I give an example. He says, Rivka Imenu. Rivka Imenu.
His master is a goy.
Yes.
Not a Yid.
Correct.
It's a different situation.
Torah says no.
If his master was a goy, a Yid, then would have influence, but a goy knows the difference.
And on that,
by definition, a goy does avodah zarah.
Correct.
We have a problem with a.
Correct. And but still, the Rashi is saying, so why are we warning him don't serve avodah zarah? Because we need to, because he's going to learn from somebody. He's bought by a goy. He'll learn from the goy.
Our great grandfather Yaakov Avinu didn't the opposite.
So
what does he have for the avodah zarah? He said, I'm going to try and make
that was amazing. That was incredible. That was incredible because Avraham Avinu hadn't yet reached that level. The Baal Tanura brings down Baal Tanura Torah. Baal Tanura is a Rishon. So there's Mefarshim Baal Torah, Baal Tosfos Torah. Baal Tanura is one of them, and Baal Tanura brings down that Avraham Avinu was told Lichol Me'atzchom Me'ladetcha because you can no way reach levels of being Avraham Avinu if you're around your family. Even Avraham Avinu, the big Baal Seichel at 3 years old, was able to determine the sun and the moon and the whole thing. He established Hakadosh Baruch Hu in his life. Monotheism, but he could not get it clear unless he left his family behind, because that is a koyach of society. Yaakov Avinu was unique. Yaakov Avinu ultimately was a bechir ha'ovus. He broke away from this influence. But Rivka, his mother, did not. It's brought down that when Esav married, the pasuk says, "Ve'yeesav ben aboyim shana v'ikach es yehudis basbas," and it says "v'toras," and it was "moras ruach leYitzchok leRivka," and Yitzchok and Rivka both were not happy about it. So the Mefarshim bring down, Medrash brings down, why does it say Yitzchok and Rivka? So he says it was far worse to Yitzchok than it was to Rivka. Why? Because Rivka came from the home of Avodah Zarah. And therefore seeing her son, her daughter-in-law serving Avodah Zarah wasn't as bad as by Yitzchok. He's talking here about Rivka Imenu. She brought back the Shechina when she came back as a little girl back home. She has been 60 years, 60 years ago when she was back home. He's talking about 20 years till she had children. Esau was 40 years old. 60 years of Rivka. And Avodah Zarah wasn't as bad to her as it was to Yitzchak. Why? Because that is a koyach of influence. That little influence early on can make an effect. And therefore what Rashi is saying over here is the enormous power of influence that it overrides Seichel. And therefore chas v'shalom should a person ever believe, listen, I'm not going to get influenced. I know where I'm going. You know where you're going. Could be. But you want to override that is stronger than your knowledge. And therefore the parasha warns us over here the koyach of a bad influence. Midot tovah merubah. How much more a good influence? And the koyach to give over good influence to make a person know where they're going is an enormous, fantastic experience. I'll just tell you a very quick var over here in the Haftorah in Parshas Bahar. In the Haftorah it says, bear with me a second. Yeah, if you look in Pasuk Chof, it says, "Asher samto oisos umoisim be'eretz Mitzrayim ad yom hazeh." I put oisos, big signs and wonders in Eretz Mitzrayim, ube Yisrael, ube Adam, and Yisrael and Adam. So Mepharshim explained that there was oisos umoisim in Mitzrayim and Yisrael. Different ways how to learn it, but what's clear is that it seems that there were oisos umoisim put on Mitzrayim. In other words, the Makkos hit Mitzrayim and Yisrael. Asks the Chidah. The Chidah is a beautiful faith on the Haftorahs. It's called Tzavori Klal, I think it's called. He says, what does this pasuk mean? He brings down from the Kadmonim that every single Makkah that the Mitzrayim received, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put that Makkah for a split second onto Klal Yisrael. Dam, Klal Yisrael experienced the pain of Dam for a split second. Tzfardea, for a split second they had the Tzar of Tzfardea. He brings it, you have to look inside. He brings it from the Pshat in his Posuk. Because the Posuk says, it's a big Chiddush, right? It's a big Chiddush. They bring it from the Kalmonim. He says, the Moses of Eretz Yisrael, and the Yom Zeh, and on Klal Yisrael. He said, why did he do that? Why did he do that? That Klal Yisrael should appreciate, that Klal Yisrael should understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving, what kind of oinish Mitzrayim are receiving, and they should understand how Kadosh Baruch Hu is making other people suffer because of the love of Klal Yisrael. They should understand better what's going on. So my Rebbe, Reb Chaim Kaufman, said, here we see Klal Yisrael, who saw and heard, and they just look around the devastation that was done through Mitzrayim, with all the Makkos, and they would not understand it as well unless they felt it on themselves. Now we understand. For a split second, I have Dam, I have the Tzvardeh, now I understand what's going on. Which means a koyach. I don't know what he means. Yeah. I don't really know. Maybe, I don't know what he means, how that worked. But that's what he brings down. And it could be not all the Makkos, could be not all the Makkos. I don't know what that means. But he says that is a koyach of influence. Influence is, you can influence a person. And you can talk to them, which is powerful, like we just seen in a bad atmosphere. People can be influenced terribly, but if you want to bring a person back and make him feel what it's really like to be a Jew, to make him feel what it means to do a mitzvah, don't just teach him, don't just tell him, don't just let him see, make him experience it himself. So therefore this parasha now is talking about a person who has deviated and fallen from moral rung and financial rung all the way to from a property, wealthy property owner to a person sold herself to a goy, according to Rav Moshe so far. The last psukim in the Torah teaches me why he did this, but there's much more than that. These psukim teach me how to get him out of this. Give me a second. Yeah. Yeah. The Chasam Sefer says, why does it say, Loi sasu lechem elilim? Loi sasu lechem elilim. Don't do you, plural, elilim. Says Rashi, who are we talking to? Keneged ze hanimka lo'iv kachavim. To this individual that was sold to a goy. Asach sam seifa, if so, why does it say lo'isasu lachem elilim? Don't you do. It's lo'isase, not lo'isasu. If it's dealing to an individual, speak to an individual. So too it says, es shabbos isai tishmoiru. Shabbos you shall guard. If you're talking about to a person who sold to a goy and rewarding to keep Shabbos, it says Shabbos Yisai Tishmoir. What's Tishmoiru? Says the Chassam Sofer that from here we learn the public achrayus Klal Yisrael have on somebody else. If we have somebody who sold to a goy and we have somebody who's in an environment that he's being poisoned by the society he's living in, then if we don't save him and we don't bring him out and help him experience and help him do tshuva and buy him out from that kind of environment, then you should just know that if he serves Avodah Zorah, it's Leisasu Lachem. You are serving Avodah Zorah. You have the achrayus. You are serving Avodah Zorah. You cannot sleep easy at night knowing that people are living a life, Rachmana Litzlan, of assimilation. And living out in who knows where, in Thailand, with the begging bowls and shorn hairs, Jewish children. If we can do something about it and we don't do something about it, loisasu lachem alilim, you are going to be punished for you serving Avodah Zorah. You have served that because you could have done something about it, if we can. And on the contrary.
I saw an Israeli today, like that, his mother has tichel. She asked me to see his son.
Rachmanis, Rachmanis.
What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to grab him and say.
There's a process. At least we can do. We can daven. Do you know? I remember. Reb Noach Weinberg, Zatzal. He once made a seminar in Eishet Torah for yeshiva guys, Ben Azmanim. And he yelled at them, and he said to them, Rabbeisai, how many of you have lost a night's sleep over assimilation? How many of you have lost an hour's sleep over assimilation? I'm not asking you to go out and to change the world. But lo echbat lechem, you don't care. And so you may not care about them, but care about yourselves. You're going to be punished because of this. Wow. So we have to do the best we can. At least we can daven. But this is real. On the contrary, says, and this is amazing. On the contrary, says the Chasam Sofer, that if this person who was sold to Avodah Zorah now starts keeping Shabbos because of you, then every Shabbos he keeps, you are keeping. If you makar of him and he starts keeping Shabbos because of you, my Shabbos tishmoiru, you plural are keeping. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reckons that as if you are keeping not only your Shabbos but his Shabbos as well. Just by the way, the Mephoshim bring down, what's the connection between Shabbos Yisai tishmoiru? It's plural. Or Mikdoshai Tiro. That's famous Gemara. If you keep two Shabbosos, Shabbosai, plural. If you keep two Shabbosos, if Klausel kept two Shabbosos, Mikdoshai Tiro, then you had a base of Mikdosh. Then Mashiach would come. That's my Farshim over here. But that is the obligation of us to make a difference and to make a real fundamental element of bringing these people into our lives and changing their world. Is something that we're responsible for. But I just want to, just a very, very interesting vort on two mahalchim over here. Of Mikdoshai Tirol. What does it mean today, Tachlis Mikdoshai Tirol? And you shall fear my Mikdosh. So there's two real ways of learning, which I've seen. The Sephorna brings down that this base of Mikdosh that we talk about, Mikdoshai Tirol, this base of Mikdosh, is obviously, in a time when you have a base of Mikdosh, it applies to then that base of Mikdosh.
Mikdoshi.
Mikdoshi. Mikdoshi Tiro. What does it mean today, Mikdoshi Tiro? Says the Sephorno, HaMakoymois HaKadoshim Begolus. The Makoymois HaKadoshim that are in Golus. Who are they? Veheim Bote Knesiois or Bote Midroshis. Afal Pi Shachara Base of Mikdosh. Even though the base of Mikdosh is destroyed, we still have the Bati Mikdosh is a Bati Medrash. So there are many shittas, there's two different ways of learning here, and that's very interesting. There are some Mefarshim who explain that this is a limud teaching us how to deal with this troubled guy who started off his life at the beginning of the parasha as a wealthy, moral individual to a person who's lost everything, no shmita, no yovel, ribbis, you name it, all the way down until he's reached the stage where he's holding out, and this pasuk is schlepping him out. What the pasuk is saying over here is, you should just know, said the foreigner, that today it's not all or nothing. Don't think for a moment that just because you don't have a base of mikdash, if I can't, base of mikdash is nothing. This doesn't apply. In any situation, a person has got to maximize what he can do. Then it's as if you have kept the lechatchil of that mitzvah. In a time when you had a base of mikdash, mikdash yitiro was fear the base of mikdash. We don't have that. So maybe forget it, it doesn't apply. No. Mikdash yitiro means that even if you don't have that, what can you do today? You can have fear of going into base of medrash or in shul and turning your mobile phone off. Gavaldik, you've fulfilled this mikdash yitiro. It's not all or nothing. Even on that limited amount that we have today, that is something that you've got to grab onto. And that's what the pasuk is telling this Jew who lost everything. I'm not going to be this tzaddik, I'm not going to be this godl, I'm not going to be this rebbe, I'm not going to be this Rosh Hashiva, what should I do? No. Umikdosh yitirol. You should just know it. Just like you can't keep the base of mikdosh, but we can keep whatever we can do. And that is as if we've kept this mitzvah of deraisa, so too each and every person, trying to do the very, very best they can, but really very best they can. Yeah? And then, one is as if you've kept the chatchil of that mitzvah. That's one way of learning. Rav Shimshon Pinkus, and I have to be very careful how you say this, because it must not be misunderstood. He learns this in a very interesting way, and we'll end here. He says that in the old times, in anything, mobile telephones, right? I remember when I was a child, 30 years ago, I remember first seeing the first mobile phone was a Nokia. It was a big box. Remember that? It was a big box you wore with a shoulder strap. And there was a big box, and he took off the receiver, and he spoke on this telephone. It was like, wow, this guy, wow, he had a mobile telephone, right? It hasn't taken so long. 30 years, where the phones have got smaller and smaller. It's amazing. You have a little tiny phone today, which is a smartphone that can basically make you a cup of coffee. Yeah, and you name it. What can it do? Unbelievable, right? What these smartphones can do. Incredible. Only 30 years. I remember when I used to go on travels. We used to, in order to keep ourselves entertained for a few hours, we used to take tapes with us. Right, tapes. I'm not even talking about record players, I'm talking about tapes. So for a 5-6 hour journey, you'll take with you 8 tapes. Right, so this big thing, a glove compartment full of tapes. Today, you take an MP3, or you take an iPod, or you take whatever, and you can fit on there 20,000 songs. And the quality is much better. Yeah? You name it, anything, a video camera, yeah? All these different things have gone from macro to the super micro, super thick. So he says, Rosh Hashanah Pinkus says, that is that an advantage or is that a disadvantage? It's a development. We're not going back in time. We used to have these huge tape recorders. Oh, that was when he, today we have this little MP3. No, we've developed. He says, now you have to take this very, you have to understand this very carefully. The Beis HaMikdash was a huge, amazingly beautiful building. When what you have today is a Mikdash Ma'at, a little shtiebel. For Hashem, we had a beautiful shul, but it's a little shtiebel. Don't think for a moment that we don't have the Rebbeinu Shalom in that shtiebel. Don't think for a moment that Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't have that relationship with us of Bonim Atem Hashem Alekeichem. All we've done is taken this huge building and put it into a small mikdash ma'at. But like Sephora says, like the Urayim says, going into the base of Medrash is going into the base of mikdash. It's the same product, just much smaller. And therefore, this person, we look ourselves in Godus, who's all this poor Jew by a goy, you still have a relationship, you still have connection, you still have the Rebbeinu, you still have this Avo, the Achvo, with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And this is something that the Parsha goes through. The Parsha tells us from the beginning, that this is a Sinai parasha. This is a open up, wake up. This is a parasha that tells me what happens if people keep mitzvahs, and chalila if they don't keep mitzvahs. And the parasha Kazam Chokosa tells me the klolos. But it shows us stage by stage a person who had everything, financial and standing in the community, and he ends up, Nebuch sold everything, sold to a goy, sold to sweeping the floors of the base of Eidah Zorah. End of the parasha tells me what was his mistake according to Rav Moshe. He didn't realize that Shabsoisai Tishmoira comes before Mikdoshai Tirol. He did not realize that living a Jew in the street and focusing a life on every moral aspect is more important than having a stunning shul. Because a Jew in the street is more important than a Jew in shul. It was the idea that the focus of Mikdoshai Tirol is the understanding of bringing in other people into your life. It's the concept of Loisasu Lachem Elilim. It's a warning that a person is influenced by his surroundings, whether he likes it or not. He's going to be influenced by his surroundings. But on the contrary, we can influence a person positively by giving them the experience of what it means to do mitzvahs. We get the schar of doing this, says the Chasam Sofer, Shav Soisai Tishmoiru, and Be'ez Hashem, we should learn from this parasha, and Be'ez Hashem, see the Mikdash HaTorah, see the base of Mikdash Mehir of Yomeinu.